I invite you to turn several pages over in your Bible to Psalm 119. We're a week into 2012, and I'm sure some, if not most of you, have goals or resolutions or desires for the new year. You probably made those or thought about those last week, but we're early enough into the year that I think those kinds of things are still on our minds. And tonight, I want to give you something to consider for the new year. I want you to consider something with me tonight that I think would be a great benefit to all of us if we were to do it. And I want to encourage you tonight to saturate yourself with the Word of God in 2012. And so tonight I want to give you reasons for why you should do that. And I want to see us as a congregation, us as individuals, I want to see us permeated with the Word of God in our thinking, in our living, in our actions. And so the way I'm going to go about that tonight is by having us consider Psalm 119. And if you're familiar with Psalm 119, you know it's all about the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. It's actually the longest chapter in the Bible. It's even longer than many of the books in the New Testament. And throughout this psalm, as you read it, you see that the theme is God's Word. The psalmist uses many different words to refer to God's Word. He calls it God's law, God's testimonies, His precepts, His statutes, His commandments, His rules, and then His Word. And so the way we're going to go about this tonight is I have three questions that I want us to consider. As we go through the psalm, we're not going to go through every verse in this psalm. It's 176 or so verses. We don't have time to do that. We're going to take it kind of big ideas. But there's three questions I want us to consider tonight. Why saturate yourself with the Word of God? So that question gets at the motivation. Why should you do this? Two, how can you saturate yourself with the Word of God? And then last, we'll consider what is the goal of saturating yourself with the Word of God. That one gets at the purpose. What are we aiming for? So first, why saturate yourself with the Word of God? I want you to imagine something with me for a moment. I want you to imagine that I've just come to you and I've said, I had an amazing steak the other night at so-and-so restaurant, and you have to try it. You have to go there tonight and you have to try it. And you might say, well, why? What's so great about it? And I begin to explain to you just the presentation of this steak. The chef did an amazing job preparing this steak. He made it beautiful, if such a thing could be said about a piece of meat. But I don't stop there. I tell you that when the waiter brought me the steak, he set it down in front of me on the table, and this aroma began to fill the air, fill the room, and my sense of smell was captured. But I don't stop there either. I tell you that not only was it beautiful to look at, not only did it smell amazing, but it tasted amazing. Right? I begin to tell you about just this perfect blend of beef and seasoning, and it was just a delight to my taste buds. And what begins to happen as I tell you about this steak? Your mouth begins to water. If you're not a fan of steak, sorry, but if you are a fan of steak, your mouth begins to water. Maybe your stomach starts to growl a little bit. Your mind's thinking, I gotta have steak tonight. And what I've done is I've whet your appetite for steak. And as we consider this question, why saturate yourself with the Word of God? What I want to do tonight is saturate or whet your appetite for the Word of God. I want to give you reasons why you want to saturate yourself with the Word of God by considering what Psalm 119 says about the Word of God. First, Psalm 119 tells us God's Word is perfect, righteous, true, and unchanging. Look at verse 96. The psalmist says, I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. In other words, I've looked at the things of this world, I've considered them, and I've seen they're limited. they're limited in their beauty and in their perfection. But as I consider the Word of God, as I consider God's command, I see it's exceedingly broad. In other words, it's limitless in its perfection because it is God's Word. God Himself is limitless in His perfection. And so His Word takes on that characteristic as well. The psalmist says that God's Word is righteous. Look at verses 137 and 138. He says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness." And then jump down to verse 144. "Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live." The psalmist says that God's word is right, that it is just, that it is good. And that can't be said about every piece of literature that we could spend time reading. But the psalmist says that God's word is righteous. It's perfect, it's righteous, and it's true. Look at verse 142. "Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true." Jump down to verse 150. "They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true." And then again, look at verse 160. "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." We live in a world in which truth is in short supply. You have advertisers seeking to mislead you about their products. They tell you this thing will change your life. And the reality is it won't. They're misleading you. The media and politicians spin the truth to serve their own agenda, their own goals. But God's word is pure and undiluted truth. You come to God's word and you get truth, not lies, not half-truths. You get the truth. God's word is true. And God's word is not only true, it's unchanging. Look at verse 89. The psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." And verse 152 as well. "Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." You see, God's word is perfect. God's word is righteous. God's word is true. And it will never change. It will never become less than perfect. God's word will never become less righteous. God's word will never become less true. You can put your faith and your hope and your trust in God's word and never regret it. It will not let you down. It is not true today and then false tomorrow or false 50 years from now. God's word is unchanging. As the psalmist says, it is firmly fixed in the heavens. So God's word is perfect, righteous, true, and unchanging. Next, God's word reveals his wondrous works. Look at verse 18. And we'll actually consider this verse a little bit later as well. The psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Notice he doesn't say, you know, help me just to get a few facts and figures down, help me to see, you know, kind of what's there. "Show me wondrous things out of your law." Look at verse 27. "Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works." You see, God's word reveals to us his wondrous, his wonderful works. In God's word, we find the wonderful news of the gospel. This message about what God has done for us in Christ, and it's wonderful. It is one of his, if not the greatest, wondrous work we find in Scripture. And this is why the psalmist can call God's word a treasure and a delight. Look at verse 72. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Because God's word reveals to us his wondrous works, the psalmist says, "It's more precious to me, it's more valuable to me than any amount of wealth I could obtain." He says in verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I mean, people don't say things like that about the newspaper. People don't pick up a magazine and say, "That is sweet to my mouth. It's sweeter than honey." But you have the psalmist here, and this isn't the only place in the psalm saying God's word is better than the most amazing food you can think of. The sweetest food you can think of, God's word is sweeter than that to our souls, because it contains a record of his wondrous works. Another reason why you ought to saturate yourself with the word of God this year: God's word gives wisdom and understanding, guidance and counsel. Consider verses 97 through 100. The psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged," or if you have the NASB, it says the elders, "for I keep your precepts." God's word gives wisdom and understanding. Do you ever need wisdom? Do you ever need understanding? Yes. We find that wisdom and that understanding in God's word. God's word also provides guidance and counsel. Consider verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word shows us the way in which we should walk. God's word provides guidance. Verse 24, the psalmist says something I find interesting. He says, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." You know that here at Grace Bible Church, we emphasize biblical counseling, that churches ought to engage in counseling people from the word. The psalmist says here, the word itself is a counselor. The word itself is a counselor. So God's word gives us wisdom, gives us understanding, guidance, and counsel. Next, consider God's word revives, comforts, and gives peace. Do you ever feel just depleted, spiritually, physically depleted, wasted? The psalmist says that God's word revives, it gives life. The ESV says gives life. The NAS says revives. Consider verse 25. "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word." This is one of the faithful. This is not an unbeliever. This is one of the faithful, one of God's people saying, "My soul is clinging to the dust. I am depleted. I am overwhelmed. Revive me. Give me life according to your word." God's word revives. Verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." Again, God's word revives God's people. Verse 107, "I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word." Again, see the connection. Give me life according to your word. God's word revives. God's word comforts. Look at verse 52. "When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord." Are you ever in need of comfort? Do you ever find yourself in circumstances that are difficult, that are trying, that are unpleasant, and you need the comfort of God? You need the comfort of the gospel. Where are you going to find that? In God's word. God's word comforts. Verse 76. "Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant." Again, notice the connection. Comfort me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your commandment, according to your promise. So God's word revives, it comforts, it gives peace. Look at verse 165. "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." So who is it that has great peace? It is those who love your law. Where is great peace found? In God's word. So God's word revives, comforts, and gives peace. And those are just some of the reasons that we could see in Psalm 119 about why you ought to saturate yourself with the Word of God in 2012. And so I've just described for you that steak. I've told you how it looks, what it looks like, what it smells like, how it tastes, and why it's so wonderful. And so hopefully your appetite has been stirred up a bit for God's Word. But next I want us to consider how. How can you saturate yourself with the Word of God? And we'll look at a few different ways that we find in Psalm 119. First, hear, read, memorize, and meditate on God's Word. And I know you're thinking that's more than one, but I have to pack as much in as I can into each point. Hear, read, memorize, and meditate on God's Word. This year, make it a priority to sit under the preaching of God's Word. And I know, in a sense, I'm preaching to the choir, because you're all here sitting under the ministry of God's Word. But I want to encourage you, sit under the preaching of God's Word, week in, week out. Come and hear a message from Scripture. Hear Christ addressing you in the Word as it's proclaimed to you. Next, read God's Word. That should go without saying as we think about how to saturate ourselves with the Word. Read God's Word. And I would encourage you, if you've never made an effort to really be consistently reading the Word, start small. Read a psalm or a proverb each day. It's not much. Except for Psalm 119, they're all relatively brief. Start small. If you're up for the challenge, pick a book of the Bible and read through it repeatedly. More than once. You know, take a month or two and be reading through the same book of the Bible again and again and again. And let the message of that book in Scripture just permeate your mind, permeate your thinking and your living and the way you go about your life. And then if you're really ambitious, try to read through the entire Bible in 1 year. We have a reading plan you can use. If you want something different than what we've passed out, see me afterwards. I can point you in the right direction. But read God's Word. Doesn't really matter how much or how little. Be reading God's Word. Next, memorize God's Word. Look at verse 11. This is a verse that I think many of us memorize when we first become Christians, because it's about memorizing Scripture. The psalmist says, "I have stored up your word in my heart," or "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Look at the connection the psalmist makes between not sinning and memorizing Scripture. He says, I've stored your word in my heart. I've memorized it. I've soaked it in so that I might not sin against you. Memorize Scripture. Next, meditate on Scripture. If you were to read through Psalm 119 in one sitting, you'd see this comes up again and again and again. Really, Psalm 119 is one extended meditation on Scripture. Now look at verse 15. "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." And verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And then verse 148, "My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise." So that's just a few of the verses in this great psalm about meditating on Scripture. And biblical meditation isn't about emptying your mind. It's not about getting rid of everything in your mind. It's about filling your mind with God's truth. And so as we talk about saturating yourself with God's Word, one of the ways in which we do that is thinking about God's Word, meditating on it, considering it, poring over it, pondering it, asking questions, thinking through implications. Meditate on God's Word. Next, sing. And some of you may be thinking, that's not what I want to be doing. I don't have a good voice. But I like what the psalmist says here in Psalm 119 in verse 172. He says, "My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right." As you study God's word, as you read God's word, as you hear God's word, as you memorize it, as you meditate on it, you can't help but sing about it. As he says, "Your commandments are right." And that is why he sings. Sing about the Word. We do that when we come here on Sundays. Some of the hymns and the songs we sing are specifically about God's Word and the great gift that it is to us. But sing about God's Word. Next, sing the Word itself. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 54. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. Maybe here's the case for singing psalms. The psalmist says, your words, your statutes have been my songs. Sing the word. And maybe this is a project for those of you who are gifted with playing musical instruments and singing. Develop songs for us to sing that are full of scripture so that we can gather together and sing the word together. Next and last, under how to saturate yourself with the word of God, ask God to give you insight and understanding into his word. You see, we must apply our minds to understanding God's word. I mean, we have to read it, meditate on it, memorize it, hear it proclaimed to us. But you have to recognize that you are utterly dependent upon the work of God to really understand the message of Scripture. And notice verse 18. We looked at this a little bit earlier. The psalmist says, "Open my eyes." This is a prayer to God. This is a request to God. "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." You see, often I wake up early, or I try. I shouldn't say I often wake up early. I try to wake up early. And if I succeed in that, I sit down to read Scripture and I read it and I think, I don't remember what I just read and I don't get what I just read. We need to wake up saying, "Lord, open my eyes. Open my spiritual eyes to see wonderful things in your word. I know they're there. I don't see them as easily as I should because sometimes my spiritual eyes are half closed or I'm half asleep. But God, open the eyes of my heart so that I can see wonderful things in your word, so that I can see your grace, so that I can see your mercy, so that I can see Christ in your word. God, open my eyes." Look at verses 33 and 34. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart." Again, the psalmist saying, "God, I am utterly dependent upon you for understanding what it is I find here in your word. Teach me. Give me understanding." And then verses 124 and 125. He says, "Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies." Again, these are all wonderful prayers for you to pray as you sit down to read God's word, as you sit down to study the scriptures. Pray to God, "Give me understanding. Open my eyes. I want to see the wonderful things here in your word. Help me. God, illuminate my heart and my mind by the work of your Spirit. Give me understanding." We could go on and on. There's so many things the psalmist says about how to saturate yourself with the word of God. But I want to conclude with the third and final question. What is the goal of saturating yourself with the word? So this one gets at the purpose. What are we aiming at? What is the goal of reading the word, hearing the word, meditating on the word, memorizing the word? The goal is knowing God. So the goal of saturating yourself this year in the word is not simply to learn more information or dates, names, geography, trivia. As interesting as those things are, that's not the goal. The goal is to see God in the word. The goal is to read God's revelation of himself and gain a deeper knowledge of him, and of his grace, and of his ways. The goal is fellowship with God. A deeper relationship with him, a deeper understanding of who he is and how he works in this world and how he works in us and what he's done for us in Christ. So as you saturate yourself in the word this year, remember the goal is a deeper knowledge of God. And then what do you find as you are in the word and God is opening the eyes of your heart and helping you to understand who he is and what he's like? What is the result? The result is a greater passion for holiness and obedience. And I just want to highlight one verse in Psalm 119 where this comes out. Look at verse 5. As the psalmist considers God's law, his precepts, his statutes, his testimonies, his promises, he says in verse 5, "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes." You see, as we come into a deeper knowledge of God, a greater understanding of who he is and all that he's done for us, that passion for holiness grows. That desire to obey him more faithfully increases. And we can say with the psalmist, "Oh, that our ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes." God, I want to obey you more and more. I know you and I want to serve you. I love you and I want to obey you. This isn't legalism or a misguided emphasis on works. It's the proper response to the God of whom we read in Scripture. It's the proper response to the revelation of God in the Word. So may this be the longing of our hearts as we seek to saturate ourselves in the Word, or with the Word, this year. Amen. Let's pray. Our great God, we do pray with the psalmist that you would open the eyes of our hearts. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the wonderful things contained in your Word. Help us to see Christ in the Word and to be changed by it. I pray, God, that you would help us this year to be a people permeated by your Word, that our thinking and our living and our actions would reflect the beauty, the perfection, the righteousness, and the truth of your Word. God, we are so thankful for the great gift you have given to us, the written record of your wondrous works, your testimonies, your law, your promises, your statutes. Lord, we want to be a people who are saturated with your Word this year. We ask for your help, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.